Chelek Yud, Parshas Bereishis, Sicha Aleph. What an incredible schus and how exciting to begin Bereishis together. May our ongoing learning be a merit for a journey of healing for the family of Chabad and for Klal Yisrael in general. As we begin the very first Rashi of Chumash Bereishis, it's appropriate to mention that the Rebbe took and expressed great pleasure when there was enthusiasm expressed by Chassidim in the Rashi Sichas. And when that enthusiasm came from unexpected sources like women or young children, the Rebbe paid that extra attention. Shabbos Parshas Bo'i, Tavshin Mem Aleph, the Rebbe brought up a question in Rashi and left it unresolved, saying he would resolve it at another opportunity. On Shabbos Parshas Tetzaveh, just over a month later, the Rebbe brought the question up again and remarked that no one had brought that question up to the Rebbe in a tzetel or a letter since, except for a young girl who, the Rebbe said, had written in English, as that was the language that she was familiar and able to write in. So, said the Rebbe, I will now talk about it, because if I don't, I'm afraid everyone will forget about it. The Rebbe went on then to explain the Rashi, and when the Rebbe ended off, he said, nobody was bothered by this question besides for this girl. Surely she will get a good shidduch, especially considering the schus she has by our speaking about it. And so, it is my prayer and my hope that our learning of Rashi Sichas together stands by us in good stead as a bracha for those of us who are looking for shidduchim for our children, for those who are in need of parnasa, bracha and parnasa, baharchava. May it be baharchava for all of us, for those who are in need of a bracha for healing, for those who are in need of a bracha for shalom bayis. May all these brachas be mekuyim in the schus of our learning as women chassidistas of the Rebbe. Now to our Rashi Sicha. It has been discussed, begins the Rebbe, frequently, that though Rashi's explanation on Torah is, as in Rashi's own words, levar pshutei shel mikra, to explain the literal intention of Torah, nevertheless, the Shaloh HaKadosh teaches that Rozin Do'eraisa, the mysteries of Torah, are found in Rashi. The Mittel Rebbe, in Sefer Imri Bina, quotes the Alter Rebbe, who expresses this idea, saying, Pirush Rashi ala Chumash hu yeina shel Torah. The explanation Rashi gives on Torah is the wine of Torah. Just as wine loosens the tongue and reveals hidden secrets, Rashi reveals the mysteries of Torah, the literal intention of Torah, not the literal translation, but the literal intention. Let's briefly explain what this means when, for example, Rashi may have more than one explanation on a verse or a few words in Torah. How can both the first and second explanation be considered Pshutei Shel Mikra? The Rebbe explained this, saying that Pshat itself has different levels and methods of biur, of explanation. There's a foundational level of Pshat, but there are also levels of Drush, homiletics, and Remez, hints, in Pshat itself. All of Rashi, says the Rebbe, contains the Rozin Do'eraisa. Certainly, the very first Rashi in Torah reveals the mysteries of the intention in the verse, and beyond that, the intention of the entire Torah, just as the first pasuk in a parsha often teaches us and reveals to us the purpose of an entire parsha. Likewise, an acronym of holy words contains within it the intention of these words, like the word Anoichi, the first word of the Ten Commandments, which serves as an acronym for the words Anon Nafshi Ksavis Yehavis. I myself, says God, wrote and gave. In fact, the Rebbe suggests that the first Rashi serves as an introduction to Rashi, as Rashi, unlike other commentaries, wrote no hakdama to his pirush, to his explanation on Torah. With this in mind, we look at the first Rashi of Torah. The Dvar HaMaschil of the Rashi is Bereshis, in the beginning. The Pasuk reads, Bereshis Bara Elohim Es HaShamayim Ve'es HaOretz, in the beginning of God's creation of the heavens and the earth. And Rashi takes the word Bereshis and explains, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, said Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo yehoya tzarech lahaschil es haTorah, elo mehachodesh hazeh lochem. It was not necessary to begin the Torah other than from, this month is to you. A pasuk in Chumash Shmos. Shehi mitzvah rishayna shenitztavu b'Yisrael, which was the first commandment that Bnei Yisrael were commanded with. Uma ta'am posach b'breishis. And so for what reason does the Chumash begin with the story of Bereshis? Why does the Torah commence with in the beginning? Mishum, Rashi says, because, and he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yud Aleph, 111, pasuk Vav, the sixth pasuk, which says, Koyach Ma'asav Higid La'amoy, Loseis lahem nachalas goyim. The strength of his works he related to his people to give them the inheritance of the nations. She'im yoimru umos ha'ilam liyisrol listimatem. And Rashi explains, for if the nations of the world would say to Israel, you are thieves, Shekavashtem artzei shiva goyim, you conquered by force the lands of the seven nations of Canaan. Heim oimrim lohem, then they should be responded to with kol haaretz shel hakadosh baruch hu hi. The entire earth belongs to the Holy One, blessed be He. Hu bara, He created it. Unisana la'asher yashar be'enov, and gave it to whomever he deemed proper. Birtzaynei nisana lahem, when he wished, he gave it to them. O birtzaynei not lamehem unisana lanu, and when he wished, he took it away from them and gave it to us. The yena shel Torah, the deeper level of pshat in this, is readily understood. Rashi is teaching that no man should ever be intimidated, cowed, or impressed by any effort made to negate Torah and mitzvahs. When the non-Jew comes with a claim that a Jew should not and need not fulfill Torah and mitzvahs, because according to their logic, there is no basis for these practices in reason or logic, much like this claim regarding the conquering of the land, according to Hashem's direction and instruction, the Jews should remain unimpressed by these claims and should in fact become more resolute in his position and in his mitzvah performance and respond to this and say, God willed for us to conquer and to have the land, and God wills for us to study Torah and do the mitzvahs. Thus one's logic or ability to understand this is completely irrelevant. This explanation, says the Rebbe, is a general explanation of the Rashi in its entirety. There are also the detailed explanations based upon the unique and detailed aspects of this Rashi. And in these detailed explanations, there are individual lessons to be learned. An essential detail in the Rashi is the verse from Tehillim that Rashi quotes, Koyach ma'asav higid la'amai, loses lahem nachalas goyim. the strength of his work, Hashem related to his people, in giving them the inheritance, this property of the nations. Now this verse is the basis of that which negates the claim of the nations. And thus therein must lie a fundamental, essential, and all-encompassing lesson in our divine service. The Rebbe explains the words of the Tehillim from several angles. What is this lesson that we learn? What is the purpose of phrasing the verse with the words Koyach Maisav, the strength of Hashem's actions? It is, after all, the actions themselves that are significant. Why is the Koyach, the strength of the actions, emphasized? The Rebbe further explores the technicalities of Rashi's words. In the verse, the word higid is used, foretold, koyach ma'asav higid la'amai. Usually, says the Rebbe, the word to say, that Hashem said or related something, would be amar, or diber, or siper, and not higid. Why the particular usage of this word? At this point, the Rebbe temporarily leaves the question we just presented and begins an analysis of Eretz Yisrael, the subject of Arashi, from its spiritual paradigm. The Maila of Eretz Yisrael is expressed in the understanding behind the verse in Parshas Ekev. What is Eretz Yisrael? Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doyresh oisa, tomid enei Hashem Elokecha bo, mereishis hashana la'ad achris shana. A land which Hashem looks after. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to its end. What is it that defines the palpable holiness of Eretz Yisrael? That sense that you and I have just walking on the streets of Yerushalayim, or in the hills of the Shomron, and in the alleyways of Tzfas, is the revealed divine immanence, a divine immanence stronger than what can be experienced in other countries. I recall walking to work, to Mayanot, early Shivasar B'Tamuz in the morning, and having a distinct sense that the very air was in pain. Now, Yerushalayim and Tamuz does not wear a cloak of gloom, but on this day it did, for through our actions we were distanced from our land. And this, says the Rebbe, could not occur other than through man's making of poor choices. Eretz Yisrael, where Hashem's constant hashkocha and his eyes gaze is constant, is not on its own shayach to evil and the opposite of holiness. As the Novi Habakkuk says, Tohor einayim mer ois ra, Hashem is of eyes too pure to behold evil. And since the eyes of Hashem rest constantly on Eretz Yisrael, the land isn't of its own able to produce evil. Eretz Yisrael is the land that desires what God desires. The word Eretz is explained in Bereishis Rabbah to be etymologically connected to the word Rotzein, will. The land desires to do God's will. And what is God's will? Yisrael. Yisrael is an acronym for Yesh Shishim Ribui Esies LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. The 600,000 corresponding to the 600,000 souls who left Egypt, each soul representing or represented in a letter in the Torah. And as Chassidus explains, though in fact there is an actual count of only 304,000 800 plus letters in Torah, the obligation and privilege of Torah includes every Jew, those clearly identifying as Jewish and aware of Torah and its commandments, represented by the 304,800 plus black letters on white parchment, and those who fill the white spaces around the letters, their Judaism not as clearly defined by their observance. On a spiritual plane, Eretz Yisrael is our service of God, alluding to the Aveda Shlema, the complete service of the Jew in the fulfillment of Torah and Mitzvahs. Practically, at a literal level, Eretz Yisrael was apportioned by Noach to Shem, then conquered gradually by Canaan in order to retrieve the land and restore it back to holiness from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Yisrael, the land needed to be captured from the seven nations. In our Avodah, there needs to be spiritual redemption and capture. The redemption and capture is expressed in the aspect of our Avodah reflected in the commandment, Kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim, and b'chol drachecha do'ehu. The obligation to know God in all our experiences, to be ever God-conscious in our thoughts and in our actions, and not only in our moments of prayer and Torah study. Thus, transforming these very actions from the realm of the corporeal to the realm of the holy, even capturing moments that would be dedicated to the mundane and redeem those moments for Torah study and prayer. Mach da Eretz Yisrael. Make Eretz Yisrael hear the well-known Chabad dictum, an oft-quoted response of the Rebbeim to some who expressed a desire to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, can be understood in this context as well. This instruction wasn't just about making one's spiritual environment in Eretz Yisrael, an environment of fulfilling the Eretz, the Ratzon, the will of God, to be Yisrael, the fulfillment of Torah and Mitzvahs, but also a directive of spiritual service of kibush, of conquering. Mach da was a charge to conquer the da, the here, whatever the earthiness and corporeality of one's current space is. When we look deeply at this journey of conquering and transforming, we see that on the way to conquering and reclaiming the land, there were obstacles and missteps. Obstacles as great as Chet HaMeraglim, an obstacle that was self-induced, a result of a lack of faith in the Eibishter, expressed in the claim of the Meraglim that the nations they had spied upon are stronger than we are. Chazal even explained this statement to mean that the Meraglim literally did not believe that Hashem was able to conquer his own land. A mistake and a lack of faith like this is very difficult to understand, because these were people of upstanding quality and character, ksheirim hoyu. They were chosen as and began their mission as upright and holy people. How did they falter and fall so far as to speak heretically of God, referring to God as the Baal HaBayis of Eretz Yisrael, even as they spoke with such lack of faith? This can only be understood by explaining their claim from its spiritual perspective. How could they really be expected to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael? In other words, to serve God in such a way that they were conquering the physicality of their lives and transforming that corporeality to holiness, such that the corporeal would no longer be of consequence. After all, God created the physical body and all physicality commanding us to guard this physical body, to tend to its needs, in the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Deis, to see a healthy body as in itself a divine service. The Baal Shem Tov too presents the physical as a responsibility of man by explaining ki sire es chamor seinacha roivitz tachas masoi v'chadalta me'azoivloi azoiv ta'azoivimoi. If you will see the donkey of your enemy struggling under its burden, will you hesitate to help him? No, you must help him. The physical body is indeed a burden and an enemy even to your soul. But don't break it. Don't abandon it. Help the donkey. This idea is similarly taught by the Mizritchim Magid in a letter to his son Reb Avrom HaMalach, his son who lived a life of extreme asceticism and was a very holy individual. Where in this letter, the Magid enjoins his son to be more like his closest disciple, Reb Shneur Zalman, who would become the Alter Rebbe, and the Mizritchim Magid writes, aklein lechele in guf, verta greise loch in der neshama. A small hole in the body will become a big hole in the soul. All of this, and the dictum of Chazal that one should not depend on a miracle, because God works through nature, using nature to run the world as he wants it, emphasizes the huge challenge the Meraglim saw in the possibility of kibush, in conquering the physical to transform its essence into holiness. It goes against the very nature of God's format of the physical world, a world that is by nature a world of definition in both space and time. How truly is it possible to transcend this and draw the spiritual and the holy into that which negates the very essence of transcendence? To do so, the Meraglim claimed, would be possible only in the present circumstances, the supernatural, divine way they lived in the desert, and not through attempting to vanquish and conquer the unvanquishable and the unconquerable. A desert is a place that cannot be vanquished. There is no water. One cannot plant, sow, and reap and harvest. It cannot really be inhabited. It is not expected to be inhabited. Spiritually, the desert is a space where man cannot be busy with conquering and settling. It cannot be settled. And only in that circumstance, when man is free of his earthly obligations, can he really serve God. This was the taina of the Meraglim. In truth, however, says the Rebbe, the Meraglim made a great mistake, because the purpose of the creation of physicality and God's desire that we busy ourselves with the physical is to draw holiness into the physical. Because ultimately, God desired a dwelling place, bitachtenim, below. And any natural order that exists only so that God's will can be fulfilled, to make from the physical into a dwelling place for God. As Chazal say, everything that was created in the world was created bishvil ha-Torah, shenikres reishis, ubishvil Yisrael, shenikru reishis. For the Torah that is called reishis, a first, and for Yisrael, who are called reishis, the first. And therefore, it is understood that the purpose of every physical reality is only there for the light and for the elevation into holiness. And not only is a Jew capable, but a Jew is also mechuyev, obligated, lichbosh, to conquer the land of the nations and to turn that entire land into Eretz Yisrael. Because through doing this, through conquering in this way, only then do we fulfill the will of God, that we create a dira b'tachtonim, that in this lowly world we conquer that which is physical, transforming it into that which is holy. In fact, conquering that which is physical and transforming it into holy is greater even than beginning with holiness, than that which is holy to begin with. It was from this mistaken claim of the Meraglim that the claim of the nations of the world evolved, and the claim of the Jews' internal nations of the world, the Jews' worldly perspective, the one that says you can't conquer. The argument goes like this. When a Jew stands in prayer, is busy with the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvahs, the nations of the world are in agreement that there is holiness there. But when he's busy with worldly affairs, they argue that that isn't about spirituality and godliness, and he must handle himself in accordance with the image of how the world functions, which is why they say, Listematem kshekavashtem artzeis shivagoyim, you're thieves for conquering the lands of the seven nations. Don't mix your holiness into the physical reality of existence. This is a physical matter and not a spiritual one. And in fact, these lands, in other words, these non-holy activities, were physically apportioned to these physical masters by God. God set this physical reality in place. Don't turn it into a spiritual story. In fact, even the Torah speaks first about creation, the experience of the physical. The spiritual experience, the mitzvah, the first mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh, only comes later, much later, an entire book later. How erroneous this argument is, and what falsehood it speaks, says the Rebbe. For God's will in the physical dwelling is only to conquer and transform this into a true dwelling for God below. Now we return to the questions asked earlier. Why the emphasis on the word koyach ma'isov in the verse koyach ma'isov higid la'amai? The strength of God's actions he related to his people. Were it to say simply ma'isov, his actions, that would seem to be a reference to the physical, like ma'ase bereshis, the actions of creation, of physical creation. But the koyach of ma'asov, the driving force and energy and purpose of the action, is what God relays. To conquer and to transform the physical, negating the claims of the nations of the world. And higid, and not omar. Why the usage of the word higid? Because the word higid suggests hamshacha, drawing near. So God wasn't simply telling them something, he was drawing them into the experience and empowering their actions to conquer and transform the physical to holiness. This explanation helps us understand Rashi's unusually long opening statement. Rashi opens the explanation on Bereshis as follows. Loi hoya tzorich lahaschil ha-Torah, ella mehachodesh hazeh lochem. It wasn't necessary to begin the Torah, except from this month is to you. Shehi mitzvah rishayna shenitztavu ba Yisrael. That's the first mitzvah which the Jews were commanded with. Uma ta'am posach bebereshis. So what is the reason that the Torah begins with Bereshis? Rashi appears to speak almost redundantly and repetitively Rashi could have simply said, the Torah begins with Bereishis, and not with Achoydesh Hazeh Lochem, because, and then continue with the Pasuk Koyach Mas of Higid La'amoy. But Rashi's intention in this lengthily worded introduction is to bring forward precisely this point. You might think that the world is a physical world. The Torah is a spiritual reality. If we're dealing with Torah, then the Torah should begin with the first mitzvah. But in fact, the Torah begins with Bereishis, with physical creation, teaching us that physical creation is the ultimate purpose of God's desire, that it is within physical creation that God put koyach maisav, that God put the power of his actions, higid li'amay, empowering us, his nation, to be kovish, to conquer, and to transform the physical. And in conquering and in transforming the physical, to draw down godliness into all of physicality.